This morning's message, Christ's resurrection, our eternal transformation. Scriptures in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 48. Pastor Stan.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you, Coco. And thank you, all of the saints here. By the way, is it warm? It's kind of warm in here. Okay. I see some people fanning themselves. I was really hot up here in the first service, so I thought maybe it was kind of warm. Anyway, as long as you folks are comfortable, that's the main thing, right? Okay, get a fan. Can I blow it up here? No. When I woke up this morning, actually, I was meditating on this morning and just welcoming in the Lord and welcoming in the morning and preparing my own heart for the morning. And I received a text during this time from a guy in California. He's my friend. I've told you about him before last year. I shared with you a couple of times of how his life that he thought that he knew. He's married, he's a pastor, he has three kids, a wonderful church, and everything collapsed at that point. Everything he knew, he lost. His home, his reputation, everything was lost. And he even lost his faith for a while, lost his way for a while. He was not, he couldn't even hear God. And that was, he's a guy who really I felt connected with my heart and was a lifeline to me several years ago when I would, when I went into my my time when I had to take a leave. And he really spoke into my life and was just there for me, just kind of let me know that he was there. And it was nice to hear from him this morning because he said this morning. He sent me this text. He said, "Happy Easter, Stan. Praying and thinking of you right now and pray that you will experience the feeling of his Holy Spirit in your life, especially as you present the gospel. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch those who are there and that God's truth would pierce their hearts. May Jesus' resurrection bring hope and life and personal resurrections in your life and in those who go to church today to worship at West Oahu." And I'll have to say that I would not have heard that text a year ago. A year ago, he had completely lost sight of God. I didn't hear the word Jesus, except maybe in a theoretical sense. Over the past few months, I could kind of hear a difference in his voice, and his faith was just coming back, and he's really, the Lord's been really working in his life again. And it's so gratifying to hear that someone who had gone down into the depths had now come back up, whose life was burned out by circumstances, is now being up on the upswing now, and moving toward restoration and healing. And that's the hope that I always have in my own heart when I hear about the gospel. Because the gospel has so many wonderful things for us, not only in this life, but also for the life to come. And that's the beauty of what we have in store for us, is that Jesus is with us always to the very end of the age. And as we're taking up this story of Easter, we hear and have heard stories, maybe you've seen on TV, maybe you've read it in your Bible. We have not gone over it too much here except for Good Friday. And Good Friday was a time when we recognized all the various sufferings of Jesus. When the scripture was read and we heard about Jesus' washing the disciples' feet, welcoming them into a place of communion with him. When he went out and he was betrayed by a friend, and when he was tortured and he was nailed to a tree, when he died. But then that's not the end of the story. That's the beauty of this. He escapes the grave clothes in Luke 24. His body, his new body, can now move through walls in John chapter 20, behind locked doors. He has a new body, but he's not a ghost. At the same time, he is not a ghost. He can eat things. You can touch him. And so this new physical dimension of a spiritual life is what Jesus represents the resurrected life is like. And so as we're looking at the story of the gospel, we want to be able to take a look at what Jesus is showing us about the resurrected life, be able to understand that so that we can take the things that he's teaching us, give us encouragement today and hope for eternity. And that's our desire today. Christ's resurrection means our eternal transformation. And a scripture for today would be in Luke 24, verses 44 to 48. Before we read that scripture, let's go to him in prayer. Our Father, there's so much to digest here. We thank you for your marvelous work that you've done 2,000 years ago. But personally, Lord, we're grateful for the work that you're doing in our lives today. We're grateful that we're not merely looking at a history record, but you are working in our lives today, and you continue to transform us. And we pray that today, Lord, your Holy Spirit would indeed give us the kind of resurrection we need in its various forms in our lives. Thank you, God, but especially that look to eternity with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Jesus was dwelling with the disciples in the upper room, he had encountered the disciples, Jesus had encountered the disciples in various different stages. First, he encountered the women, and then he encountered Peter somewhere along the way, and then he encountered some of the other disciples, as I mentioned, right there in the room, the upper room, where the disciples were hiding out. And so we have this scripture here where Jesus says that he opens their minds. Let's read that together. Luke 24, verses 44 through 47. Luke 24, verses 44 to 47. Ready? Go. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." The message of the gospel, the message of Jesus, the work of Jesus is this: he must suffer and he must rise after 3 days. In your notes page, if you have that, I have a few cross-references to his resurrection. These are prophetic psalms that pointed to the suffering of Jesus Christ, as well as a couple of scriptures that point to his rising after 3 days. Jesus was not unclear about this. He said, "The sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And so this is one of the ways that Jesus explains that he's going to open their minds, and now people can understand what he's saying. Christ's suffering, his resurrection, and the forgiveness of sins is what we celebrate today, as the scripture says. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? We do it because, first of all, he is worthy. He is worthy. But why else? Also because his death and resurrection and his forgiveness of sins has an effect on us. It touches us. It moves us inside. His resurrection means our eternal transformation. So our eternal transformation is, first of all, outward. If you look at your notes, there are two parts to this. It's outward as well as inward. His outwardly, Christ's resurrection is a physical one. means a physical resurrection for us. If we look at John chapter 3, verses 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says that we're going to be like him. So let's take a look. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Apostle John wrote this many, many, many years later, reflecting back on that morning of the resurrection where Jesus presented himself and appeared to them in the room behind closed doors when they were trembling in fear. And yet he wasn't a ghost. And he says now that we will be like him. There's a phrase in a song, an Easter song, it says, "Soar we now where Christ has led. Alleluia. Following our exalted head. So we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And if Jesus' body is glorified, which it is, that's what we call the glorified body, we will be nothing short of glorious as well. We will be glorified. So let's be clear about what this means. It does not mean Jesus is just going to fix you up here and there. Now, Jesus is fixing us up now and then, here and there, right? How many of you have done home improvements here and there? You guys need to do home improvements now and then? When I have, when I go on break or when I take a vacation or have some time off, I take a look at what kind of things need to be done around the house, and I get out my saw, my little measuring tape, and I start doing some home improvements, and I fix things up. And one of the things that are memorable to me is when I fix up a railing, a particular railing had a lot of rot on it. And you know what rot is, right? And it has this rot's no longer strong because the nails are going into the wood, but the wood is rotten. Or the nails themselves are just all rusted out. And so you need to repair the wood. I'm not sure if you ever heard of this thing called wood petrifier. You ever heard of that? Wood hardener, wood petrifier. It takes wood that is rotten, kind of flaky. You kind of scrape off the flaky parts, and you paint this solution on it, and then it hardens. It hardens the wood, that the wood that's really weak, and supposedly it's stronger than the original wood. Now, the other ways you can fix this thing is you can cut out that piece and you can put in a new piece of wood, and then that would be a repair. And then you paint it all up, and then now it's a repair. God does that to us, doesn't he? When we go through life, he repairs things in our life. He fixes us. Sometimes he has to chip out a little part in our lives, and then he has to replace it with something, or he makes it new in some way. I like this radio show that I listen to. It's called the Build New or Redo radio show. And it's all about repairing and fixing or building new. Redo is when you do a remodel of your home. You're fixing up a kitchen, but basically the house is the same. So we might replace a door, fix your railings, change your wiring, replace a fixture that's not working well in your house. Maybe do some painting. But here's the thing about this redo. When you do a redo, a repair, you still have the old house, don't you? Nothing is more obvious to us when God fixes us. When we have to fix up something, we go to the doctor, we have the doctor fix us something in our lives so that we can get along without pain, or we can repair. A brother had a ligament repaired, a tendon repaired, and those are wonderful things. But our old bodies ultimately will catch up to us. So a redo is not the same as a build new. So let me give you this illustration. The other week I was watching the Masters golf tournament, and the final day was on a Sunday, so I couldn't really catch up, but I went home, and then I saw who won the Masters golf tournament. You folks know who won the Masters golf tournament? What was his name? Tiger Woods. Does that name sound familiar? Or what, huh? Where has he been? Well, here's where he has been. He had a moral collapse many years ago. He had a relational collapse. He had a reputational collapse, emotional collapse, physical collapse, professional collapse. And this win for him was the most meaningful to him. He fixed things up. He improved here and there. He refined his game. But Tiger Woods is still a redo. In other words, he's still a repair. He is still working with the same body. It's not a build new. Tiger's body is still perishable, and it's still flesh and blood. And apart from Jesus' glory, Tiger's glory is going to be limited to the here and now. Now, I pray that Tiger Woods would come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior so that he can experience true, not just a redo of the current body that he has, but not just a repair, but a build new, brand new. You know what a build new is, right? A build new is something like what happened at a house, just a couple of houses down the street from us. A number of months ago, the neighbors came knocking on our doors and says, we're going to tear down our old house, we're going to build a new house. And so some of the street parking is going to be taken up by construction equipment. And so we said, okay, sounds good, you know, no problem. And so our house is a little higher and have a little landing that I can kind of stand on. I'll take these pictures of their house. They tore it down. And now while they're doing that, while they're tearing down the house, I'm thinking, all that good wood. I want to go over there and take some wood. Oh, I wonder if they have some good metal, scrap metal. I can get that wood and that metal and put it in the back of my house when Amy's not looking. And I'm thinking, you know, this is really good stuff still. I can salvage all this stuff. And but anyway, the tractors come in. They tear down the whole house. They smash it all up, get it all. They dump it out. They clear the land. They break up the old concrete garage, and they get rid of it. And then they move in. And they pour a new slab, a brand new slab. And then they put up a brand new frame out of new wood. And then they put up new walls, put up a roof, new walls. And then they put up, then they have a paint job on this house, and then they put in new appliances. And I just can't wait for the contractor's open house so I can go and see what their house looks like inside. Because I have these pictures of them from the outside. Is that invasion of privacy or what? To take pictures of their house. But that is a build new. When we're talking about a resurrection, we're talking about a build new, folks. We're not talking about a redo. Now, redos are good. We enjoy them. But we're not talking about redo today. We're talking about brand new. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 44 says this. It says, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a, say it with me, spiritual body. What this means is that God is not using the old materials to repair your body. He's not just fixing you up. The resurrection means it's a whole new redo of your body. All new material. Not that God can't supernaturally use the elements that in your own body. He can. But it's all new. That's what Jesus wants to tell us. This is what God is about. He takes that old stuff, it's going to be crushed, it's going to go away, and he's going to come in and give you a brand new body. And that's the body you will inherit eternity with. Praise the Lord. Do I hear an amen? Amen. So that's the kind of thing God's going to do. And what's that body going to be like? It's going to be imperishable. If Jesus can walk through walls, guess what? I don't know if we'll miss a step, but if I miss a step, I think I've broken my toe before when I missed a step because I had my readers on and I wasn't watching closely. But if I miss a step, I won't break my toe. My body won't age anymore. Now, we do not know what that's going to look like exactly. John tells us that we do not know what we are going to be like, but we will be like him. That's why we need to see Jesus. What is Jesus like in his resurrected body? But it's the resurrection body and the eternal transformation is not just outward, it's also inward. Our eternal transformation is also inward. What that means is this is our inner life. This is our thoughts, our feelings, our values, the meaning in life, our purpose, relationships, the security, affections. We sometimes call this the soul. The soul is the intangible part of our body that continues to endure. Let's read Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. When we're talking about repentance and forgiveness of sins, we're not talking about a physical body. We're talking about a relationship that's been restored between God and humanity. And that is stuff that gives us meaning. So it's not just a physical thing. It is an internal, a soul thing. And although I think everyone here is living, I mean, okay, just to test, if you're not living, raise your hand. Usually we get somebody to raise their hand, right? But not today. Good, I'm glad. Okay, all of you are living. But even though you're living, there are some dead things in your lives. There are some dead areas. There are losses. There are grievings. There are regrets. There are pains. Henry David Thoreau rightly observed, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation." Despair. That's the feeling that you wish things weren't this way, but they are. And so we're resigned, we resign ourselves to this reality. And it begins to define your existence. It can define your existence if you let it. Guilt is one of our worst enemies. How do we forgive ourselves? Our consciences remind ourselves of our guilt. Satan the accuser will come in and reinforce your guilt and say how bad you are. But the message of resurrection power says when you repent, you are forgiven. Repentance and forgiveness will be preached to all the nations. So in typical contracts, there's an exchange of money or consideration. The payment that freed you from your sins was paid by Jesus by his death on the cross. His human dimension, the human part of him, represents humanity. And he represents the death that is able to pay for us all. And because the price for our forgiveness was paid, God gives us assurance of our forgiveness. Not because God is a nice guy, but because the price was paid. God doesn't forgive us just because he's a nice guy. He forgave us because Jesus Christ died on that cross. And therefore, when we have guilt that's haunting us, and we can't even forgive ourselves, God tells us to look at the cross and realize that his own son died on the cross and paid the penalty, a tangible penalty, for you and for me. On Good Friday, we had the opportunity to nail our sins to the cross. And that's what all those white papers are there. We did this as a visual symbol of God's forgiveness. His bearing our sins in his body on the tree. That is what Jesus did for us. And this message of forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations. So if you've repented, you can know his freedom. When we don't forgive ourselves, we set up a standard that's higher than God's. So God calls us to forgive ourselves even. Jesus painted a clear picture of repentance. He told this parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee said, "Oh Lord, so wonderful. I'm so happy that you made me so wonderful." I'm paraphrasing. The tax collector said, fell down, and he said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus said, the tax collector went home justified before the Lord. If you've hurt somebody, go ask for forgiveness. It's a sign of true repentance and remorse. And if they forgive you, be free. Be free. Don't be self-condemning, and don't let Satan condemn you. But there's more, isn't it? Earlier last week, the world was horrified to watch the Notre Dame Cathedral fire. How horrifying it was to stand by and watch the fire billowing out of the top of the building. I couldn't even imagine what that was like, but in reality, the spectators could not even see most of the fire. Inside the building, it looked like this. Our lives can look like this at times. Even if we show some of the despair that we are experiencing, others cannot really see what's going on. It's like those big limestone walls around the Cathedral of Notre Dame. But Jesus sees it. And in our trials, we need to see Jesus. Perhaps your brokenness has left you inwardly broken as well. We need to see Jesus, who healed a man born blind and a woman with chronic bleeding. He healed lepers who are outcast from society. He healed paralytics of their broken bodies. We need to see Jesus, who raised to life a son of a widow and the daughter of a leader of the opposition even. Perhaps past abuses or failed marriage and relationships. Maybe mental illnesses haunt you with social stigma and isolation. We need to see Jesus, who was despised and rejected. We need to see Jesus, the one who gives dignity to the outcast. Perhaps you've lost a loved one and you're struggling with grief and deep emptiness. We need to see Jesus as the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Maybe you're haunted and oppressed by demons. We need to see Jesus, who drove out demons of epilepsy and deafness and blindness. Or perhaps you've broken laws and you've harmed others and you struggle with guilt. We need to see Jesus, who said to a man, "Your sins are forgiven." Perhaps we need to see Jesus, who saved and released an adulterous woman from her condemnation. Perhaps you have been deeply hurt by others and struggle to forgive. We need to see Jesus, who loved despite the utter failure of friends. Jesus, who begged the Father to forgive those who were putting him to death. Perhaps you face physical threats. We need to see Jesus, who grasped and lifted up a man who was sinking in water in a storm and feared for his life. Perhaps you have financial insecurities. We need to see Jesus, who filled the nets of fishermen whose nets were empty. We need to see Jesus, who fed those who were hungry. We need to see Jesus, who manifested money even in a fish's mouth. Perhaps your friends have failed you. Political powers have stacked the deck against you. Jesus was betrayed and abandoned by his disciples. He was falsely accused by political leaders. He went through 6 illegitimate trials. He was wrongly condemned. He was beaten, spat on, mocked, hit. He put a robe on him and a crown of thorns to mock him. He was made to carry his own cross through the public streets. He was crucified. He was suspended by nails through hours of torture, suffocating pain. He experienced the forsaking of the Father. He had a spear driven into his heart. And finally, he was hastily buried in a borrowed grave. But on the third day, Jesus rose in victory over everything that was thrown his way. Let this speak to you as a sign from the fire in Notre Dame Cathedral. We need to see Jesus through the ashes and the smoke. The risen Jesus remains, and he transforms your burned out life even today. So what's your situation in life? Jesus rose from the dead and brings resurrection power. That's the message of this story. Tony, the message of this story is that you will have a new body. You will have a resurrected body. This wheelchair and your body that you're in today, the paralysis, is not your destiny. Catherine, your body in that wheelchair is not your destiny. The injuries you experienced earlier in your life that keeps you down is not your destiny. Resurrection power is your destiny. The losses you've experienced, the ones that have loved ones who have been taken from you, that's not your destiny. Resurrection power is your destiny. That's the message of this story. And Jesus is saying, if you follow me, the best is yet to come. And he brings that power to you. As the Apostle Paul writes, those who are baptized into his death will also rise with him. Amen? Friends, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, which means who have died in him. And Revelation 21, 4 through 5 summarizes where Christ's resurrection points for us and our transformation. Revelation 21, 4 through 5, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy, and they are true. As surely as the scriptures had to be fulfilled about Jesus, they will be fulfilled about those who trust in him. Everything new. Outward. New bodies. Inwardly, our souls, because God has forgiven us. And if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, though your outward body may be wasting away, inwardly you will be renewed day by day, and you will receive an eternal glorified body on that day. Oh, may our souls cry hallelujah. Put your hope fully in Jesus Christ. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, there's a message you are to take to the world. And that's this message. This passage of scripture I'm going through here concludes with Luke 24, verses 44 to 47. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Are you a witness of the work Jesus Christ did in your life? And Jesus calls you to take that message. This message is our prospect of eternal transformation, both outward and inward. This message has been transforming lives for 2,000 years, and it has just as much power today as it had on that very first day. If you're invited here by somebody, it's because they want you to begin experiencing our eternal transformation, both outwardly and inwardly. And it begins when you place your faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, or if you've strayed from him, come to him now. Because eternal transformation is for everyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ and follows him. Join me in prayer. Lord, I pray for those, first of all, who may not have known you or have strayed away from you. Lord, we come to you with this prayer. Lord, forgive me. I draw near to you now, God. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. I want that eternal transformation. The things in this life do not offer eternal hope, but you do, Lord. And I call on you now. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I want to follow him. And if you've prayed that prayer, the Bible says that Jesus comes into your life and establishes that fellowship with you. Perhaps you have accepted him and you've never strayed from him, or you know him and you walk with him, but you're in that place right now where you really need to hear an assurance from the Lord. Trust the scriptures. Jesus said, trust the scriptures. His life had to fulfill the scriptures, and the scriptures will be fulfilled in you as you follow him as well. Lord, I pray for those who need that extra measure of hope today. They need resurrection power. They need maybe a redo, but they need even more than a redo. They need a build new. And Lord, I thank you for that assurance that you give us. Now we walk forward in that, Lord, because the cross of Jesus Christ remains. He remains through the ashes and the smoke. We want to be devoted to him, to that place where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things are passed away. So now, Lord, we cling to things that are trustworthy and true, and we give you the glory you deserve on this Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.